Action Postgame.
Let's go.
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Comes to center ice, stolen back by the Leafs. Played over on the left wing, 2-on-1. Engvall loose. Mikheyev shoots and scores! Ilya Mikheyev! No soup for you again here in New York. And the Leafs have a 6-3 lead.
Officially a win streak. Leafs doubled up the Rangers 6-3 on Broadway to make it 3 in a row and 5 of 6. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. And Gord, we talked about it the second intermission. The Leafs needed to step up, and that they did in the third period to take it home.
And that is the home of the soup Nazi in New York City.
True.
So Ilya Mikheyev, no soup for you. Yeah, that's what all happens.
I'd argue gets all the soup.
Well, yeah, that's right. It should be the opposite. We talked after 40 minutes, okay? And I use the term, this was a jump ball. This was a weird 40 minutes. It was not a dull game, but it was there that somebody grabbed the ball in the third period. Nick, the Toronto Maple Leafs got to beat teams like this. Like every now these teams will win because of excellent goaltending, so you're going to lose someone along the way. You do not have room to lose games against inferior teams. And that's what was frustrating. So the venom I was spewing the first intermission when they blew a 2-0 lead, I'm doing the opposite now because the Leafs came out and grabbed that ball off the jump ball and took possession and just rained threes like the Toronto Raptors on one of their big games. And that statements by Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, John Tavares, the big guns in the third period took charge against a weaker New York Ranger team and came up with a real, real important 2 points. Important because this possibly could have been a watershed game, a bad momentum game for tomorrow night's Michael Hutchinson start against Detroit had they blown that 2-goal lead and blown the game.
I'm going to go ahead and credit you with lighting the fire for the Maple Leafs in this one.
I think they were listening. I think it was piped in the dressing room.
You were steamed after 20. They found a way. And again, sometimes it's your depth guys who need to step up. I thought for the most part, especially in the third period, it was the big boys. Mitch Marner gets 2 goals in this game. William Nylander, 2-1. The Matthews line with Nylander and Kapanen amounting for on the fly here, 6 points out of those three guys.
And because they win as well, I am saying I am very glad and I'm advocating Michael Hutchinson get the start tomorrow. I've been one of those advocating ride Freddie ride, and Sheldon Keefe had chosen to do so. And that was the right thing tonight. Very ordinary performance, like Joe and Jim were alluding to, by Freddie Anderson. Of course, he's only given him a ton of phenomenal performances, but he did make some big saves in the third period. That's the whole thing, the timeliness. So even though they outshot the Rangers 40-22, neither goaltender made big saves. Freddie did, and you had to say that, okay, I'm not subscribing to the tired thing so much, but I'm just saying, yeah, that's cool. Tomorrow night, the proper thing is to put Michael Hutchinson in goal. Of course, we'll have it here on The Fan, Leafs Nation pregame at 6:30 p.m., and let's hope it's a solid team effort in front of a local guy, a really good kid, young man, Michael Hutchinson, who could really use that kind of support.
I echo your sentiments, and sometimes your goalie, whether it be your number one or your number two, are going to fight the puck a tad. I felt Anderson was fighting it a bit, but that said, Gord, I think he did come up large in the third period, namely the save on Ryan Strome. We were waiting and waiting for that save that would solidify this victory, and I think it came in the third period, and I think further sort of solidifying and noting that Frederik Andersen is one of the best goaltenders in this league, and he came up huge when it mattered. But the Maple Leafs had that distinct ability that other teams might not, to outscore their opponent whenever they want.
Yeah, well, that's what they are.
Yeah.
Like we've forgotten, I say forgotten, but it's not been evident enough what a talented, skilled team they can be and should be, and should it be more often than they've been so far this season. Like, you look what Marner can do. You look what Matthews can do. Tavares. I mean, they're all different animals that way about their skills. And that's what I like, the skill set. Now, you probably just got the stat, too. It's from our guy, Stevie Fellin.
Mm-hmm.
So look at this one. Percentage of the game, the Leafs have been holding a lead this season. Now, keep in mind, it's not just 100% because there will be even for a chunk of it. But under Mike Babcock, 21.1%. Under Sheldon Keefe, 55%. 55% of the game, they've been holding a lead. The whole attitude changes. You are being chased rather than being the chaser. That's a big change in psychology. So all of a sudden, you're the big dog, and they're coming after you. And that's because they get the jump. They've scored so many, outscored teams in the first period, got the first goal so much of late. You're playing with a lead. It's a beautiful world out there when you have a lead.
I agree, and it's something we didn't see many times, of course, under Mike Babcock to start this season. Again, that's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. Chris Johnson will be coming up from Madison Square Garden. We'll get Sheldon Keefe as well, the head coach of the Maple Leafs. And, of course, this is Leafs Nation postgame. A 6-3 win for the Maple Leafs on Broadway. They've won 3 in a row and 5 of 6. Let's go further on the numbers now. 9-4-0 under Sheldon Keefe. The PK was 3-for-3. Now 26 of 30 they've killed under Sheldon Keefe, which is a far cry from the Mike Babcock era this season. Matthews, 2 assists. Nylander, 2-1. Marner, 2 goals. They've now scored 4 or more times in 8 of 13 under Sheldon Keefe. 5 or more in 5 of 13. And I you know, it's interesting, too, when Sheldon Keefe took this job, he more so said he wants to get the best out of their players and he doesn't care sort of, you know, what happens after that sort of thing and reading between the lines. And I think he's putting these guys in a favorable opportunity to be successful and do their thing and do what they're creative at doing here. And we're seeing that here with the offense.
Yeah, I think the Tyson Barrie quote earlier. Now, Tyson Barrie is a guy that really thrived under Sheldon Keefe. I wouldn't say he has of late. He's just found more of a role. Like, he still hasn't wowed everybody as the guy that you think's going to get the $8 million contract next year, whatever. We'll see what happens. And, of course, playoffs, getting in the playoffs, but then playoffs are going to be instrumental for all those unrestricted free agents about how the market goes. But when Tyson Barrie said that, you know, I find myself sometimes I'm up in the opposite goaltender's crease, I'm a little worried about it. And they look at the video, and Sheldon Keefe says, I want you to do that more often. That there's a team-wide understanding that all the D have the green light to do that, which also means it's the onus is on a forward to back up and take that spot. Justin Hall's a guy that's really benefited from that. I didn't realize Justin Hall had so much offensive ability as well that way. So I think, Nick, that just gives an attitude to the team as a whole about it. And, of course, the other thing is about, even though maybe they do it a little bit too long sometime, but they really hang on to the puck. That's the thing. They're not big on stretch passes.
Very noticeable.
Yeah, stretch passes are sort of gone on the back burner. Puck possession is huge.
I agree with that, and I like a coach that sort of rewards his players for playing well. Like, the name Justin Hall is not rather appealing, I think, when you look at the potential players on this roster, but again, I thought he was really, really steady in this game, and he was actually tied with Morgan Riley for the most shifts at 29. His confidence is oozing right now, Gordon. It's just great to see overall, considering how long he was in you know, Mike Babcock's doghouse and eating popcorn press box to where he is now here in his contract here, playing really, really well, and I think will be counted on huge, you know, down the stretch here for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, every year there was a Frankie Corrado, Josh Levo. Who was the other forward? There was somebody last year as well on top of
Nick Patan. Like,
yeah, that's right. That's right. Just out. And again, in Justin Hall, by the way, and I don't want to, you know, because I think too much of the last couple of years has been about contracts. I really think that's been a problem. And so much focus and distraction was about the big guns, and that's gone by the wayside. Everything's kind of understood, and the big names are there. So you know about D, but Justin Hall's an unrestricted free agent too. So on top of Jake Muzzin and Tyson Barrie and Cody Ceci, you also have Justin Hall. I mean, they'll be able to get some of these guys back, but who would have, you know, you didn't even put Justin Hall's name in the mix earlier this year about being a UFA because you kind of put him in the no problem category.
I think if you're a Maple Leafs fan, you'll take it, even if it's in a contract year for Justin Hall. It's not like he's going to go out there and demand, you know, $6 million a year. And certainly I think a player at, what, 27 now, I think he, at the end of the day, him and his agent will sit down and say, you know, and just is hoping that he continues to play this well. Well, Sheldon Keefe gave me a chance. Why would I leave Toronto is the big time question.
That's easy for us to say.
Yeah. He's been such a marvelous story.
I know,
honestly.
But that's easy for us to say. Yeah. I would hope that, you know what?
Maybe he wants the money. He's going to go chase it in Arizona or something.
Well, no, there's, you know, it's funny because Anthony Duclair, we talked about that earlier, except he's a restricted free agent, but just about, you know, that 1 year thing is not a complete body of work. And we saw it with Jordan Binnington. How can you have a better year than he had last year? But basically, of course, he was a restricted free agent too. But so that's a bit of a difference. But he took 2 years at $4 million to say, okay, to get the big enchilada, I've got to do this on a little bit more than 1 year. And certainly, I'm not getting carried away about Justin Hall and his contract demands
their
potentially
issue,
down
our
the road. Yeah, but that would also fall in place for him, that kind of philosophy.
Let's give him 8 and 8. Why not? let's give him the Jacob Trouba contract. Why not? I you know, speaking of Trouba, I think the Leafs did a good job of limiting him. Artemi Panarin was a +1, just one assist. Ryan Strome scores a goal in this game. But the Leafs, weirdly enough to say, really put the clamps on defensively in the third period. They did make the mistakes in the first and second frame trying to exit the zone, but I think they really cleaned things up. And a big reason why, as you mentioned, they had the puck a lot tonight, Gordon.
Yeah, and this thing when they have a lead, and we just saw that stat, how often they've had the lead with Sheldon Keefe. So it's unusual going in the third period. I mentioned there's not a lot of history about a Leaf team looking to come back in the third period. Now, they were tied. They weren't sort of coming back, but win the game based on the third period and where they've hung on for dear life a little too precariously in some games. This game they went out at, man, they kicked ass from the first couple of minutes. Like, just they just made that statement, and whatever it was after that, they weren't like Mikheyev when he finally got that goal to give them the 3-goal lead. They'd have about four or five other pretty good chances. Like they were going for it without having odd man rushes going against them, without those long, that one game where they gave like three or four breakaways in one game against them. That wasn't happening. They really had a good defensive philosophy, which mainly was the best defense is a good offense.
I just, you know, for people out there saying and being the negative people saying, you can't play this style in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Just don't bother. I think this team has to get confidence, and with that, anything is possible. And as we saw last year in the Cup playoffs, just make it, and you just never know. And I rather a team, quite frankly, who can score goals at will than a team that can't, Gord.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, everyone had a little bit. Andrew Shaw certainly was a nice piece there, but it just was a lot of skill. Patrick Kane is a guy that just, that's what I look at Mitch Marner like in a lot of ways. And okay, maybe Jonathan Toews is a tougher, whatever that word may be, than Austin Matthews, but Matthews has a different kind of skill level on that. And Chicago Blackhawks, just they're a good example, beat you on skill. And I think a lot of ways that's what this Toronto Maple Leaf team is trying to replicate.
People just get so caught up in that narrative that you got to play like the tight checking, low scoring type hockey, and you can't, you know, outscore your problems in the playoffs. I don't buy that, especially in this era. I do think it's a different game. I do think you need sort of that sense of physicality when it matters in the playoffs. But again, I think if you possess the stars the Maple Leafs have and the guys who can produce and score on a nightly basis and the weapons, I think you have to put your money in that, and that's what they've clearly done under Sheldon Keefe, and the puck possession game is going to be huge down the stretch.
Yeah, and again, to jump ahead to the playoffs, yeah, you know, things like matchups become key, and no longer can some team pay a Bobby Hulick $9 million a year to be a third-line phenomenal shutdown center. So you have challenges about that. You want to, you know, get more depth, more balance in all your lines, and that becomes a testament of getting through one, two, three, or four series.
Well, that was the thing with St. Louis too, right? Like they had Alex Steen playing on their fourth line, and I think depth is vital, and that's why I think this is a good development for this team, that the bottom six is scoring, the top six is scoring, and again, it's a matchup nightmare if you get into a matchup game come the Stanley Cup playoffs when guys are going the way they are right now in Leafs land, and the confidence is growing by the game, folks. A 6-3 win here. Mitch Marner, 2 goals, 2-1 from William Nylander, 2 assists from Austin Matthews. It was points night for the Maple Leafs, 6-3 over the New York Rangers. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick are breaking it down at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Other side, we'll hear from Chris Johnson from Broadway. Also, Sheldon Keefe go inside the locker room. There are 3 other games in the NHL on this Friday as well. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. The Maple Leafs winning on the road here in the front end of a back-to-back at home to take on Detroit tomorrow night. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. A 6-3 win here on Broadway. Mitch Marner, 2 goals, 2-1 for William Nylander, 2 assists for Austin Matthews. It was that type of night for the offense. And as we mentioned in the first segment of the program, this Maple Leafs team has been scoring a lot under Sheldon Keefe. The goals are just piling up, Gord Stellick.
Yeah, shots were piling up too. Outshot him 40-22, almost by a 2-1 margin. And you know, quite often I use the word deportment to describe a goaltender. It's something I always like about Freddie, just his look, which really didn't like tonight. Third period, though, came up with some big saves, but it's a night where Freddie wasn't his best, and the other guys, especially in the third period, decided they would be. And just, yeah, that skill leading to goals, not trying to make a 2-1 tight checking game. That doesn't mean you ignore playing defense in that, but doing what you do best.
I think
and
he rallied.
Showed it.
I think honestly, like Anderson rallied in the third period. The save on Ryan Strome in the slot, I thought, was pivotal. And your goalie's going to have these types of nights, right? Like where he's not on, or he's not feeling it, or he's just a bit off. We don't know the whole story. Clearly, he'll get the night off. We'll get a 3-day break coming up before the Monday game against Carolina, then the 3-day break, and that's going to be huge, especially for Frederik Andersen, who plays every game and among the league leaders in wins. But he's going to have these type of games, and lucky for him, he has the offense who can outscore the opponent the way they did tonight.
No, exactly. Yeah. And to you know, go back to the game a bit, I know we'll talk to Chris Johnson about it. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe as well, but just that the Leafs had a 2-0 lead, and then they gave it back. Again, give the Rangers credit, but there just was a lackadaisical, lack of intensity, lack of focus about a puck gets innocently dumped in the Leaf zone, and all of a sudden, both times, a Rangers wide open in front of the net with no defenseman in sight. And in both cases, or one anyway, like Fred, it just kind of a weird bounce. It was almost like a curling shot that went in. And it was kind of, you know, the thing about goaltenders, they like to make that one big save. They like to have an easy save on the first shot. Then they like to make one big save and really get in the game. And, you know, Freddie's just always cool as a cucumber in his deportment, but he just didn't seem to be able to have that bite getting in the game. He just seemed to be a little bit off the first 40 minutes, but thing you never see in statistics is big saves at the big time. And again, he's no fuss, no bus about him, but there were a couple of big saves in the third, to your point.
All in all, I think the Maple Leafs continue to start on time. The numbers speak for themselves. As you mentioned, they've scored the first goal in 10 of 13 under Sheldon Keefe, have outscored their opponents in the first period 18-5, but you're right. It was 18-3, turned into 18-5, but I'd rather a team that blows a lead than starting to chase the game the way the Maple Leafs did earlier this season.
Well, and the other part is they came back to win it. And that's the part, if you're going to be a high echelon team like you're supposed to be, you do. You find ways to win those games. And that's the part, you know, you don't advocate blowing a 2-0 lead that way when you could have kind of been home and cooled out and you know your goaltender's seemingly only ordinary then. But again, I just think in this very brief Sheldon Keefe era, but not even just that, just this season as a whole, that final 20 minutes is a pivotal period when you look back at the 82 games, if the team makes the playoffs, as I expect.
Very well said. So a 6-3 win here for the Maple Leafs against the New York Rangers. Again, they've won 3 in a row, 5 of the last 6. So next up, a date with the Detroit Red Wings, who they destroyed last time around at Little Caesars Arena. And Michael Hutchinson, no doubt, will be the focal point of the conversation heading into that one, Gord.
Yeah, and you cannot take anyone lightly. So certainly they're not going to take the Detroit Red Wings lightly, but this is a game they should win. Detroit's terrible right now. Again, you lose a game sometime when a goaltender comes up big on the opposing team. That will happen from time to time. It could happen tomorrow night. So you have to get that quality start from Michael Hutchinson, or quality game. It may not be a win, but you'd expect if he gives you a quality game that it will be. And his last one against Buffalo, like, he was playing okay, and then just he created one faux pas trying to clear the puck, and then, you know, just had a hard time after that. So tomorrow, I don't want to say it's do or die or not, but Joe Bowen, you know, mentioned at the end, he knows Michael Hutchinson. I don't know Michael Hutchinson. I know he's from the area, so I know, like anybody, he'd be thrilled to be a Toronto Maple Leaf, and what a thrill it must be for him. Excellent guy. He even knew that with Mike Babcock. Mike Babcock wasn't big on Garrett Sparks. He wasn't big on Jonas Enroth. He seemed to have a lot of time for Michael Hutchinson. And last year, when both goaltenders were injured, he played about 5 games for the Leafs and played okay.
Yeah.
Played okay. But again, the point being is when you've got injuries and you put someone in because you're desperate, the bar is a little different than you're trying to find a full-time quality backup goaltender that can get you his share of points. And he has not been able to do it so far this year in that particular role.
I want to play the role of devil's advocate with you right now. Like, would it have made more sense to start Hutchinson in this game with a fresh Leafs team as opposed to a Leafs team who's going to be in the back-to-back Saturday night?
I would have. I'm leery of starting him at home.
Yeah.
But then, you know what? Then as soon as I say that, I go, wait a sec, this is the NHL.
And it is Detroit.
So I know, but I don't like seeing a guy getting the crap boot out of him at home. And I would hope that wouldn't be the case, but it would be frustrating if it happened again for Leaf fans, because Leafs have actually played better on the road than they played at home again this year. So I would have, in, I got to be honest about that, I would have tonight. But anyway, I'm cool about him tomorrow. They're on a high, and the team, they kind of owed it to Freddie Anderson in the third period. They did that. They owe it to Michael Hutchinson as well, because there's been certainly a couple of games when the team in front of him has been anything but at their best.
A 3-goal explosion by the Maple Leafs here in the third period. A 6-3 win over the New York Rangers. Again, 3 in a row and 5 of 6. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada will drop by from Madison Square Garden a couple moments from now. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe, the head coach. We'll go inside the locker room. This one of 4 in the NHL on this Friday night. But They're starting to gain traction and some confidence, and we talked about it a lot in the last couple weeks, how they need to go in a bit of a role, and it could happen right now, Gord.
Yeah, and I mentioned that one of the keys, it may sound like a pretty obvious one, but the seasons, you look at guys' past 10 records, you always look at in the standings.
Yeah.
And generally, everyone's kind of the same, right? It's like everyone's 6-4,
like Florida
5-5,
still wins tonight,
you 4-6, you know, that kind of thing. So when you get a chance to go on a Minnesota Wild type tear, like they have of late, always want to plug our buddy Bruce Boudreau, but yeah, just take it. Like we saw Colorado Avalanche, like just suck in those fumes and just keep going. I mean, you've got an intangible, and the opposition knows that. It's not like they fear it, but they kind of know that as well, that they're playing a team that all cylinders are clicking. And it's different because the game is so much mental that way. And here, the Maple Leafs are on their best run of the season and keep it going. Don't always be chasing. Like, close to the playoffs, and then you can't make it game number 75. It's tantalizing and close again.
Yeah.
And you're not there because I'll tell you what, game 82, you're probably not there.
You're right. And the problematic thing is that the teams above them and around them continue to win. The Florida Panthers beat the Dallas Stars 7-4 tonight. They have 37 points and two games in hand on the Maple Leafs. Tampa didn't play, but they're tied with Toronto, 38 points. So all in all, you know what's going to become much more important is the games against these teams you're fighting with. They haven't been good against Montreal so far this year. They beat Buffalo the other night, but lost two earlier this season. Boston, well, we know that conversation. Tampa, we know that conversation. So I think those games are even more amplified when they do come up in the schedule, that you not only beat these teams, Gord, but you win in regulation. Because as the games continue to pile up and as we approach the official midway point of the season, now six games away, they got to find a way to gain some traction and some points on the teams they're fighting with for playoff spots, especially in the Atlantic Division here.
Well, lo and behold, their last game of an 82-game regular season, Saturday, April 4th, at home against the Montreal Canadiens. Mm-hmm. Wow. And that happened, that happened once before a number of years ago, that was a real important game, although the next day the Islanders and Devils eliminated the Leafs in a game that didn't include the Maple Leafs. But you're right. The Montreal Canadiens is no better rivalry. Buffalo is a great rivalry. Here's the weird one. Florida Panthers, even though they're a great young team, they just have no traction. So when you're divvying up tickets, they're probably one of the least teams of interest.
Yeah.
Yet these are going to be huge four-pointers for the Toronto Maple Leafs against a team like the Florida Panthers. Because right now, it just looks like three teams from the Atlantic Division will get in. And unless Atlantic Division teams really get their act going, the wildcard teams will come from the Metropolitan. So you got to give Boston as a given. And then it's two of Toronto, Tampa Bay, who I think would be the next two. They're not there now. And then Buffalo, Florida, and Montreal. And those other teams are close to or ahead of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And outside of that game tomorrow night at home against Detroit, they won't take on a fellow Atlantic Division foe until the aforementioned Panthers in Sunrise, January 12th. To wrap up 2019 in this decade, home to Detroit, home to Carolina, of course, on Monday afternoon at New Jersey versus the New York Rangers December 28th on another back-to-back. So we likely will see Michael Hutchinson next weekend as well. And Gabby Boudreau's Minnesota Wild in St. Paul, a 6 Eastern start time on New Year's Eve, Gord Stelly.
The Leafs last week, again, the records could change, but had the 5th easiest schedule for the remainder of the season of the 31 NHL teams. So that's something that is, you know, playing into your, hopefully your strength as well in beating the teams that you should beat. They've played a lot of the tougher teams early on in the first 40% of the season.
And we often talk in sports about controlling your own destiny. You can continue to do so. I think for the Maple Leafs, just continue to rack up 2 points after 2 points after 2 points. Because, yeah, you got some ground to make up after that so-so start to this season, but you continue to win. You put more pressure on the teams around you, no?
Well, it goes down to finding a way to get in rather than someone throwing a number out what it would be. It'll be what it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
And the Toronto Maple Leafs have to be at that number. I mean, they really do. It would be, wow. Tampa Bay a couple of years ago fell short. Then they came back.
Yeah,
and
but the entire team was out, right?
Yeah,
I know.
But it's just, this is in the whole growth thing. Wow, to fall short. And a lot of people expect that to be now. But anyway, we'll just wait and see. I still can't believe they won't. But it's not a big hole anymore. It's getting filled in. But they're still, you know, on the kind of on that first level. The first level of underground parking in a new apartment complex is going to have 4 or 5. They're kind of on that first level.
I'm on P5 in my new one.
Yeah, they're not down there. They were there.
I feel like it takes like 25 minutes. I need like an Uber or something to get me down there. But that's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. 6-3 win on the road here for the Maple Leafs. Say it ain't so. It's a win streak. 3 in a row, trying to make it 4 in a row against Detroit coming up tomorrow night. Chris Johnston still to come. Sheldon Keefe will go inside the locker room as well. Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick bringing down a 6-3 win on Broadway for your Maple Leafs at the Golden Muzzy. At Gord Stellick, if you want to chime in via Twitter, but the Maple Leafs have won 3 in a row, 5 of 6, now 9-4-0 under this man, Sheldon Keefe.
How'd you like the way your club responded in the third period? What stood out in that regard, Sheldon?
Well, you know what, I thought, like we've talked about in some of the previous games where the third periods haven't gone well, that the second period was maybe when some of the issues started to come up, and I thought some of the positives of the second period today, which I thought there were lots, carried through to the third period. Obviously, we got a good start and the puck went in the net for us. That helped, but there were a lot of really good signs for our team in terms of how we retained the puck, which I thought was a real key to this game here in particular, because when their team has the puck, they're a tough team to deal with, and I thought we handled that well.
So it didn't appear that there's any discouragement, Sheldon, after being playing the way you did, but still being tied going into the third.
Yeah, the message was just to keep going and stay with it. That was the challenge for us. You know, the guys did, and it worked out for us.
What had you been noticing with William in the games before tonight?
You know what, I talked with him, right? We actually met this morning, and he didn't feel like he had a great trip out west in particular. You know, he said he just didn't feel good, didn't feel right, but liked his practice and the work that he had done back in Toronto, and was excited to get back and playing. So, you know, we met him, talked about some things, but really, you know, I thought Will had a much better game here today and got rewarded for it.
Is there something you notice about him when he's going, like even dating back to the Marlins?
There was times today where he was doing that, which was just that he has the puck a lot in the offensive zone, and guys come to try to get it away from him, and he's evading the check. He's hanging on to the puck. He's really difficult to knock off the puck. That's what I really see his game kind of rounding out, and a lot of it's just because of how he protects the puck. When it's not going well for him, those pucks get off his stick too quickly.
Go ahead. Hutch in nets, Detroit coming in tomorrow night, and the back-to-back ends haven't been very good for this hockey club this year. You've got something to build on here, you think, as you get ready for tomorrow night, given the body of work that heads into it?
Yeah, we do, and we also have something to build on in terms of our last back-to-back. And I know that Hutch wasn't in the net, Freddie was, but for me, still till today, that's the best game that we've played, in my opinion. Since I've been here, just in terms of how competitive we were. I know we didn't win the game. We didn't give up very good, very much to arrest a very good Colorado team, and it's just because of how we competed and how committed we were. So we're going to be tapping into that in addition to the good things that came out of today.
Where's your satisfaction level after a 9-4 start to these guys?
Satisfaction is not a good word.
No, it's the level of it, though.
Yeah, you know what, we're going to be in a battle all season long here, right? And you know, other teams just keep winning games, and it's a tough league, obviously. I know that. So we just have to continue to focus every single day on being our best and making improvements along the way.
I guess more, Sean, what I mean is what you're seeing from the group through the 13 games and where you are with that sort of
thing. Well, we've seen progress for sure, and I like that. And even at times when it hasn't looked the greatest, we're still seeing progress. And today was a different type of game. We score early again, and the game gets away on us. And you know, it's even going to the third period, but then we get the lead, and then I thought we did a pretty good job of taking care of it. So there's progress, and that's really what you're looking for.
There is Sheldon Keefe, Maple Leafs winning at 6-3 on the road at Madison Square Garden. Now 9-4, no wonder Sheldon Keefe. But I like the fact that he's sort of tempering expectations and not going too crazy, but a 13-game sample size, and sort of noting that there are plenty of things this team needs to work on.
Well, one of the things he said that really struck me, Nick, is the fact that they got a battle. And maybe this will be a good thing. Like last year with the Tampa Bay Lightning, having no adversity over 82 games and only having a games 83 through 86 was made a phenomenal regular season into a very disappointing season overall.
Yep.
Last 2 years, the Maple Leafs have been home and cooled out when we talked around Christmas. Home and cooled out as far as the playoffs. The previous year, they had to make it that last weekend of the season to take on the Washington Capitals. And we thought this would be the third year in a row that the Toronto Maple Leafs would be home and cooled out. So they're not. So maybe, just maybe, this will help prep them for game number 83 better if they, as I keep saying, as we expect, or I expect anyway, get into the playoffs. Yeah, it's going to be more a battle the second half of the season, which they haven't had to do so much the last 2 years.
Well, more nights like this, and they might be cooled by the time the playoffs do come around. A 6-3 win against the New York Rangers. A lot of it had to do with the play of Mitch Marner. He was certainly dancing in this one. Two more goals for Mitch Marner in a 6-3 win. Let's hear what number 16 had to say postgame.
Mitch, was the start in the third period an opportunity to build on what the team was able to accomplish in that second period, at least in terms of shots on goal at 12-4?
Yeah, I think we controlled the puck. We didn't throw it away. We kept the pedal down. It's something we just got to make sure we keep doing in the thirds. It's something that we haven't been consistent at, and we got to make sure we just keep the pedal down in thirds, make sure we're trying to give teams no space.
Did you do a good job as a team, do you think, in terms of pressuring what the Rangers might have wanted to do offensively and force them into giving it away?
Yeah, I think we had our shifts where we did do that. I think some shifts we didn't, but it's going to happen in the game. It's going to go the opposite way sometimes. I think we did a good job of just bouncing back every time. Like I said, that's a big third period for us. We got to make sure we come out, do that every time.
What was it like getting a little more power play time tonight? Was that nice to happen recently?
I mean, I don't really know. I didn't really feel like it, but I mean, we got two units that can score, so I don't think it matters who goes on the ice. We're comfortable with whoever's on there. I think both units did a good job of puck movement, getting pucks to the net, trying to get second opportunities. I think our power play has been better over the last couple of games. Something that's going to help us win games going forward.
Your thoughts on why the penalty kill's been really good the last few weeks since Sheldon came on board? What's changed in that regard?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't think too much. I think staying out of the box a little bit more, that always helps. Teams aren't getting three or four penalties or power plays against us. I think when the teams are doing that, they're seeing what we did. They're managing to get around it. But I thought we stayed out of the box pretty well. And when we're getting puck pressure, it's hard for teams to move the puck around on us. We got a lot of fast guys out on the ice. It's something we just got to make sure we keep doing, and we got to keep each other accountable for shift lengths and making sure when we do get on the ice that kill, we're going 100% every time.
Overall, Mitch, what do you think is the biggest takeaway, the biggest reason you guys have been able to turn this around since Sheldon took over?
Confidence. I think playing with the puck. I think everyone's getting their time out there with the puck in their hands and not throwing it away and not feeling rushed with the puck. I think every single line's got a lot of skill on it and can score. So, I mean, when we have four lines that are controlling the puck consistently and we're getting good line change in the offensive zone and guys are coming out fresh against tired guys, it's hard for teams to defend that. It's something we just got to just make sure we keep doing. We got to try and be a team that just frustrates people constantly.
Mitchell Marner, goal 7 and 8 on the year, and he was dancing in this one at an opportunity where he absolutely worked Brady Shea, the handsome Brady Shea in the first period. Did not lead to a goal, a sharp save by Alexander Georgiev. But Marner's starting to gain confidence by the game as well.
Yeah, and a power play goal as well. It was a two-man advantage, but something the Leafs have struggled with, have played better with under Sheldon Keefe. I mean, Sheldon Keefe didn't cure all ills, so I'm just saying, but it's a fact they have. But it's funny. I'm trying, like, guys like Mitch Marner and that, before he got hurt, it seemed, Nick, like everybody was underperforming, yet statistically they were there. They were close to where they were expected to be or have been, but it's just a different way. It's a different aura. It's a different confidence. It's like retro. It's back to last year and the year before. And you kind of go, okay, that's what these guys do. Good. We're seeing it again. That's what these guys do. That's what Mitch Marner does. And he did it all tonight.
Look, and that's why teams do make coaching changes sometimes, not to compare everything to the St. Louis Blues. They did that with hopes of saving their season, and it did certainly save their season. So the Maple Leafs hoping the same thing. Speaking of Marner, it's time for the VTech call of the game. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Hook up on the right wing side,
And Muzzin challenges his man, and Stahl can't get it out. Now Marner has stolen. Marner in front of the net scores! Holy mackerel, what a turn of events! Marner, all by his little old lonesome, with everyone going to the bench, steals the puck, finds the top of the net. It's 5-3.
All right, so Mitch Marner right there, the 5-3 goal. Maple Leafs win 6-3. But again, when this team is on its game, they can beat you a variety of different ways, top six, bottom six. It don't matter, Gord Stellick.
Well, and last game we talked about getting secondary scoring because that's what they've been lacking. So they hadn't been getting it consistently. Then all of a sudden, everyone broke out who had been struggling, whether Mikheyev, Kerfoot, you know, you name it, Freddie Gauthier getting goals. And then it carried on tonight about some of the depth guys getting it, but also at the end of the day, the big guns. But, you know, it's like what Colorado's had for most of the year, like Burakovsky getting a season high already for the Colorado Avalanche with half the season to go compared to what he did in Washington. So the Leafs are getting the best of all worlds. And, man, oh, man, like Timoshov and that and Engvall, and you kind of watch them. You go, everyone's got speed and size and, I mean, just different things. Like they really do. And they all have speed. Everybody has speed on the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's you just got to, hopefully the speed will get them back in the playoff spot and deeper in the playoffs.
I feel like everybody has purpose too. They know their role
That's
on this team, and it's changed a bit under this regime and what they know, and they know what they are good at successfully in doing, and they're sticking to that. And I think that's why this team also to boot has been successful the last little while. So the Maple Leafs win at 6-3 on the road on Broadway. We'll hit our final break of the night. Other side, we'll get you set for Detroit. That's the opponent coming up on Saturday night from Scotiabank Arena, and sail things away here. It's Nick Alberg and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick on Twitter. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
For the final time tonight, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers, breaking down a 6-3 win for the Maple Leafs on Broadway against the New York Rangers. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. A look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Gord, what a night for Nick Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin. In fact, Backstrom 2-2 hits the 900-point plateau in his career as well, and everything came together the right way for the Capitals here in the front end of a back-to-back for them. Ilya Samsonov, the win. The Devils continue to struggle. 6-3, the final. By the way, sidebar story, PK Subban, that dismal 21-game point streak.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. His 21-game point drought coming to an end tonight, Gord.
Boy, when we talk trade deadlines, there's going to be an interesting one about PK Subban. Well, not a trade deadline deal before, but just interesting. And the assumption is, everyone knew New Jersey was the only team willing to take the whole enchilada, the $9 million. So they'd have to eat some of it. They might think it might be, I can't even believe we're talking buyouts.
That's insane, yeah.
Anyway, that's for down the road. Meanwhile, on the other side, Nick Backstrom and Alexander Ovechkin, the 21st tandem of teammates to play 900 career NHL games together with the same team. The record is over 1,300. Gordie Howe and Alex Delvecchio years ago with the Detroit Red Wings. And, Samsonov was one of the three stars as well. So it looks like only one of probably Backstrom or Holtby can stay the end of the season. And Samsonov was a first-round pick by the Capitals, developing slowly, unless there's some magic Brian McClellan can work salary cap-wise.
Gord, I can't get over Noel Acciari. So the former Boston Bruin, like 4 years into his career, signs with the Panthers in the offseason. He's known for chucking the mitts, bottom six, grinding it out. The Maple Leafs, you know, Leafs fans have seen it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, he has back-to-back hat tricks. Now, 6 goals and 1 assist, a Joel Quenneville-esque changeup in the top six. They split up Barkov and Huberdeau, and this Panthers team is lighting it up offensively. Acciari, 3 goals in this game. Now, 11 in 31 games for Noel Acciari, whose career high coming into this one was 10 goals in 60 games a couple years back. He had 6 in 72 last year. He profoundly is not known for his goal scoring, but this is depth scoring with a capital D here, Gordon.
Well, he's got 11 this year, so he's already beat it. How about this? The hat trick was a natural hat trick, all in under 4 minutes. Minutes, 59 seconds. His last one was on a penalty shot. So I wonder what the record is. So, yeah, let me. So 4 minutes, 59 seconds. Wow. Anyway, fastest 3 goals. I know it's a lot less than that. But anyway, yeah, you get a guy that gives that kind of grit and all those other intangibles because there's a lot of skill in the Florida Panther team. And anytime he goes out and scores some goals or gets a lot of goals, that's a bonus. So, you know, when you look back, a very tough Dallas Star team, and you get that win, and a guy like Noel Acherry is a key guy in why you got 2 points tonight, the Florida Panthers.
The final score was misleading, by the way, because Dallas scored the last three in like the last 10 minutes. So a 7-4 win for the Panthers, keeping track and pace with the Maple Leafs, who won, of course. And the lone game happening right now, 2-1 Pittsburgh, John Marino's homecoming. Not many out you are going to know that he was a fifth-round pick of the Edmonton Oilers. Actually didn't play a game for the Oilers, but was traded last offseason. Returning to Edmonton tonight. Somebody cares about it. Zach Cassian is 13th.
Was there a video tribute?
I doubt it.
Of him coming down to the
draft
table?
I highly doubt it. I tweeted it out because I'm the biggest revenge game enthusiast out there, as you know. But it's 2-1 Pittsburgh. This Tristan Jarry story is incredible to me, considering nobody wanted this guy in the offseason. He was out there on the trade market. Nobody wanted him. He has been marvelous for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and you know, include the Toronto Maple Leafs in that about, you know, Pittsburgh was looking to do something, weren't sure about Tristan Jarry or Casey DeSmith. And the Penguin team with a lot of injuries, and they keep playing. By the way, Jason Zucker had surgery on his tibia, out 4 to 6 weeks. So that New Year's Eve game, Bruce Boudreau's Minnesota Wild has been withstanding injuries, but that's another one that just got added in the past couple of days. But we'll see. Be a good game to watch the rest of Pittsburgh and Edmonton, even without Sidney Crosby.
Even while you look at those Edmonton Oilers jerseys are just hideous. They are hideous. I'm being nice about it, too, but it's 2-1 in that one. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Andrew Dutchy Holland, JR Manitad. We'll talk again coming up Saturday night, Leafs Nation pregame, Gord, 6:30.
6:30, can't wait. Ford Dealers Keys to Victory, you name it. Hockey Night in Canada on a Saturday. And Michael Hutchinson, hopefully Christmas comes a few days early for him.
Watch out. See you later, everybody.